Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Kid Stays in the Podcast. I'm your host, Trey Cooper, and joining me today, as always, is...
Cellulite Cooper.
Oh, not bad.
Thank you. Thought of it
pretty good.
Literally 3 seconds ago, while you were saying that introduction.
Joining me today is Solomon Cooper, and we are going to be discussing the box office sensation that has shocked the nation, Greta Gerwig's Barbie.
Woo!
Okay, don't blow our eardrums out.
Is that loud?
Yes, it was loud. I almost blew my eardrums out.
Okay.
So, I remember, I'm not trying to act like I'm some kind of box office guru.
That's what they call you, Dad.
They
call you the box office guru.
When I went to go see Oppenheimer on the Thursday of Barbenheimer weekend, whatever that date was. And I went to the early afternoon showing, and almost everybody at the theater was dressed up for Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
The concession stand, everybody in line. Men, women, children, brothers, sisters, fathers, daughters.
Okay, Dad.
Cousins, dogs.
Bro.
I saw a gerbil at one point.
You saw a gerbil wearing pink.
And they were all wearing pink or pastels. They were obviously dressed up for Barbie.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I texted my friend right then and said, this Barbie movie is about to go bananas. And he's like, yeah, they're already predicting, you know, it's gonna make like $65 million, it's gonna do really good. I'm like, no, it's going to go crazy. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. And I predicted $100 million. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. And then the next day, me and you went to go see Barbie, and we went to the 12 o'clock showing of Mission Impossible first, and then still gaggles of people. Got whole hordes of people.
Herds.
Wearing pink. They had to take the big Barbie box that you take pictures with.
Mm-hmm.
They had to take it out of the lobby and go put it into storage because it was clogging up the hallway.
That's where it went.
Yeah.
I really want to take a photo there.
Yeah, the employee said it was clogging up the hallway. So many people were trying to take pictures with it.
That's crazy.
So then I texted and amended my thing and said $150 million opening weekend. And even that was too conservative. I think it ended up with 165.
Yeah.
Domestically.
It's at 900 million right now, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, worldwide.
Yes. So I keep saying, repeating this little anecdote, but Greta Gerwig, in an interview, but well before the movie came out, they asked her how she was able to get this movie made, like how she wanted to make it, you know, and have its... you know, the special things that make this movie not like a G.I. Joe movie, you know.
Yeah, or Transformers.
I mean, it's both making fun of Barbie dolls. It's also celebrating Barbie dolls. It has a strong feminist message. And she laughed and said, I just told him it would make $1 billion, like as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not, probably won't, but this movie could make $1 billion.
Well, it's on its way. It's, like I said, $900 million in the box office is...
Well, I didn't know that.
crazy.
I haven't been keeping track of its numbers. And not to offend any of our listeners who are also Ben Shapiro fans, although I hope there's not that much crossover. No offense.
Or Ben Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro was one of the outspoken far-right conservative voices who was, let's say, taking a little poopy poop onto the movie.
We don't like it when people take poop poops on movies.
No, not very nice of them.
What was he saying?
He just ripped it apart for 45 minutes.
That's it.
Yeah, I didn't listen to the whole thing. I do not typically listen to Mr. Shapiro very much. But the only reason I bring him up is not to make this into a political podcast. We should start one of those, though.
No.
Each episode would be 9 hours long.
And I would look like an even more of a doofus.
Yeah, I'd be like, name me the last three presidents you remember, and you'd be like, Biden, Trump, the end.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, Ben Shapiro, in his 45-minute long screed against the movie, ends by saying, don't let Hollywood lie to you. This movie's going to bomb. It's going to tank. He's like, yes, the numbers look good right now. He's like, but word of mouth spreads. You're going to see a drop off. I guarantee you. Like no movie's ever seen before. And the movie came back the next weekend and made $93 million. One of the strongest second weekends ever. This movie's going to have legs, much like a Barbie doll. Legs that go on for days. So, Mr. Shapiro, sorry, but you're going to have to eat your hat on this one and admit that you were wrong. I'm looking right into the camera. I'm pretending like I'm him, and I'm on his show. Except I can't talk in that weird voice that he talks in.
I can't.
Anyway, either. Enough talking around the movie.
You should have dropped the mic and been like, look at the facts, Ben, and dropped it.
Yeah, I'm going to tag him in this. And I'm gonna put a little clip like he had on his video that says, kid stays in the podcast, destroys Ben Shapiro for 30 minutes.
This is such a good idea.
He'll be so upset whenever he listens to it and we barely even talk about him. Anyway, so on to the movie.
Yeah, how much time have we spent?
5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
I felt like we had been talking about that for like the last hour.
Jeez, that's rude.
No, that's good. Time flies when you're having fun.
Or it goes really slow when you're not.
No. I realized that I did that wrong.
Okay, so why don't we start off with a plot synopsis?
Dude, I gave one of these the other day. Remember?
Where?
So you were in the car. My friend was like, I don't really understand this movie.
What are you doing with your microphone?
Holding it like I'm a pop star?
You're holding it like it's an ice cream cone, and you were kind of stroking it in a weird way.
What do you mean?
Stop doing it. Stop touching it.
Why?
Just stop doing that. Just give your plot synopsis. You're saying you're in the car.
But yeah, I was in the car with my friend, and then I said, he was like, what's the Barbie movie even about? No one's ever given me like a straight synopsis, and I gave one, and it was so good.
No, it was awful.
You didn't say it was awful. You said it was pretty okay.
I said, except for it wasn't what the movie is about at all. I said it was good as a synopsis, but it wasn't what the movie is about. Well, it's fine. Do it again.
Okay, well, I think I can try and remember this. So a Barbie in Barbie Land is experiencing unusual things like sadness and depression. So she has to go into the real world to help her owner feel happy so she can be happy again.
Pretty close. Pretty good.
Good?
Yep.
Oh, and she also has cellulite, and that's why my name is Cellulite Cooper.
Yes, that's one of the things that happens to her. So Margot Robbie plays stereotypical Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically they mean the kind of Barbie that you think of when you think of a Barbie doll.
Yeah, she says that.
Right. And yes, her feet are no longer perfectly arched up for high heels. They go flat. She gets cellulite. She
thinks about death.
She thinks about death. She's having an existential crisis, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Solomon said, she goes and visits Weird Barbie.
Played by.
Oh my God, I almost said Elizabeth Banks. Oh, I can't remember her name. I'm completely.
You silly little man.
Who? Kate McKinnon.
Yes.
Yes. Interesting thing in this movie. We live in a world where it's not really kosher to call things weird unless you're Austin, then it's okay. But in this movie, they really kind of embrace being weird, even though they admit that they are rude to her by calling her weird behind her back in a mean way. but they definitely embrace the weird. And yes, she tells them that she has to travel back to the real world because whoever is the child who's playing with her is obviously experiencing such strong emotions.
That's affecting.
That it's seeping into Barbie land. Mm-hmm. And in Barbie land is a matriarchy.
Woo!
Dude, stop doing that.
Why?
Why would you keep doing that?
I didn't think it's that loud.
It is, though.
Oh, well, I'm doing it, and it doesn't sound that loud to me. I also can hear my voice in my headphones.
I almost kicked you, though, really hard. And then everyone would have seen it, and I would have had to ask Mike to erase it so that I didn't go to jail.
Okay, Dad.
I asked you not to do it, and then you screamed right in my ear again. My ears are bleeding.
Pardon me.
Yes, it's a matriarchy. So men are second-class citizens,
mm-hmm.
and all the Barbies rule the world.
Yes.
Barbie president, Barbie astronauts, all the different kinds of Barbie dolls that there are in the world.
Yep.
Little fun aside is that they have, like, really unpopular dolls, like the Allen doll. He's also there. And his wife, Midge, who is the pregnant Barbie, which
That's
also
is
unpopular. Yeah. Well, it is in the dolls they were. Huh. Back when I played with Barbies, I knew all about them.
I love Allen.
Yes, Allen's played by Michael Cera, and it's a really great understated part.
Mm-hmm.
When all the other Kens get a lot showier parts. And that's kind of, I think, the joke about Alan.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a matriarchy. And the movie does a lot of really interesting things with its messaging that I do want to get into. But before we get into the messaging, I'd rather just talk about just the fun.
I would love to talk about the fun with you.
So why don't you talk about some of the fun things about how they portrayed Barbie Land and introduced us to it.
What?
The fun things about Barbie Land is a really fun place to see. What did you think about it? The set design, the way that everybody acted, the jokes.
I feel uncomfortable. I don't like it whenever
you're like,
me
I
questions.
Saw this movie 100 times.
I have seen this movie 2 times, but I don't feel like I can talk about the fun of Barbie Land. It's like just the fun of it. You talk about the fun of Barbie Land.
No, I've been talking for like 10 minutes.
I know. It's been great. If you could just say like one fun thing that you saw. And then I'll talk about 3 fun things that I saw.
Okay, so Barbie Land is a masterpiece of set design. It is gorgeous. Everything looks like a dollhouse, like come to life.
Yes.
Everything they eat, drink, whatever is made out of plastic. They don't actually even imbibe it. They just have it.
Yeah, they don't have any drinks. They kind of just pour nothing and pretend like there's a drink there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun little stuff. Everything is like, it's like the whole world is like a musical. Like a planned musical that they're aware of. So like Barbie invites people to do a party to her house. They say that in the trailer. And everything's like perfectly planned. And everything is going like in this wonderfully masterful way. That everyone just knows.
Everything's going in this
wonderfully masterful way. I know. I sound like a dum-dum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk anymore. I'm embarrassed.
You sound like one of the Kens.
No, I don't.
And all the Kens, they established at the very beginning that all the Kens... Barbie's happy all the time, but the Kens can only experience happiness if Barbie looks at them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all just like sitting around waiting for to like get a Barbie's attention.
Yeah, and then Alan's just Alan.
And they have Alan. And they have the Kens have no purpose whatsoever. They might as well be like handbags.
Yeah, they just
like Ryan Gosling's beach Ken. His entire job is to beach. And they never give you any explanation.
Yes,
he works at beach.
He does beach.
Yeah, he does beach. He just is beach.
Yeah. He's not a lifeguard.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's also funny because he has a surfboard, but just because they modeled it after like what the different Barbie kits look like, the water's not water. It's not liquid. Mm-hmm. So he can't even surf.
Yeah.
He just runs into waves.
He runs into a solid object.
There's a lot of recognizable names that played all the Kens, but who would you say are the top ones?
Ryan Gosling and Simu Liu.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anyone else.
What kind of Barbie was Simu Liu?
A Ken.
Okay, sorry. What kind of Ken?
The Ken kind. What? The one that is a boy.
You're really driving me insane.
I can't think of it. What,
you're all like, I'm going to be an expert on this movie. I can tell you anything about it.
They never tell us his occupation.
I feel like they have to.
Why?
Because everybody else had one. There's Beach Ken and whatever Ken.
Who?
Cowboy Ken.
Nope.
Rodeo clown Ken?
Nope. They never once talk about anyone else's job except for Ken Beach.
Okay, maybe you're right.
I know I'm right.
Anyway, so you really have nothing else to say about the intro, how the movie's like set up?
You just said it was fun.
I wanted you to describe how Barbie Land works. And you couldn't even do that.
What do you mean? We already discussed how Barbie Land
All
works.
I said was that it's a matriarchy.
It's run by women. People are giving...
No, it's run by Barbies.
By women.
Yes, but they're all Barbies. Very, very much need to clarify. Not just regular old women.
Oh, yes. Okay, obviously. But I figured that was... It's in Barbie Land, so I think it's assumed. It's a given.
I mean, you shouldn't assume. You know what assuming does.
Yes, I do.
You look like an ass face.
I'm just going to let the silence
fail. Why?
I just have nothing. Look, I already
just think it's so funny.
They have a Nobel Prize for women.
You're just being so arrogant.
Every woman
okay,
is a woman.
Okay, we're done. You obviously are an expert in this movie. We're going to take a break and let Solomon splash some water on his
face. What do
face.
You mean? I'm good. You're the one who's not good.
I'm just saying.
You told me to talk about the fun of Barbie Land.
Well, I wanted to just talk about Barbie Land in general, and you're just like,
nope, that's not what you said. You said talk about the fun of Barbie Land.
So what?
It was weird. It was a weird prompt. It made me feel uncomfortable. It made you feel uncomfortable.
Then why didn't you say, okay, instead of talking about the fun of Barbie Land, what if I just talk about Barbie Land in general?
No, nope, that's not what you asked for.
This is why two men shouldn't be discussing the Barbie movie. We should have brought it in an actual female person.
We should have. Don't call them females, Dad.
A lady?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't call them females.
Why?
That's like an unforgivable sin.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of Solomon's non.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome back to the Kids Days in the Podcast and our discussion of Barbie. That was good. Did you like my introduction?
It was pretty good.
Thank you.
So I'm not going to talk anymore.
Ever again?
And I don't want us to be just going
beat by beat
through the plot.
Yeah, you're so predictable. Can read your mind.
So let's talk about what Barbie experiences whenever she leaves Barbie Land into the real world.
She experiences the worst thing in the whole world, toxic men.
You're such a simp.
I know, it's so bad.
Anyway,
these men are so evil.
You're being sarcastic.
No.
So what is it? Are you being sarcastic?
No, I love women. I love women. I'm sorry.
Oh my god, this is awful.
What were you interrupting me? Yeah. So men are catcalling her, like doing the classic. Was that good?
Oh, that was awful. Well, good thing girls don't have to worry about you doing that to them.
I know. I actually purposely detrained myself from being able to do that. And they make a bunch of jokes about how their entendres are doubled or something like that.
They make one joke.
Well, then they make another joke about something else similar to that.
Okay.
Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Well, that's because you don't know this movie like the back of your hand like I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what she experiences. Did it. Your turn.
That's all you have to say?
Yes.
Oh.
Keep going.
You're about as deep as a mud puddle.
I'd say something a little bit deeper, like a pond.
Nope. I want to say the other word, but I can't say it because half of it's bad.
What word?
Starts with mental.
Dad.
And I can't say the other part.
You can't.
I told those politically incorrect these days. Anyway.
What would you say she experiences?
I would just not be saying one specific joke and then toxic masculinity.
Yes. I named it
so
more than
she
that.
Gets to the real world, and it's a fun fish out of water story because she finds that not only
are women
not in
charge
of
everything.
I
don't know why I didn't think about that. I am slow.
Yes, I know.
I'm gonna lose my mind.
No, not only do women not rule the world, and all the men are in charge of everything, but they're also really rude, and like you said, catcalling her and being toxic. And quite frankly, this is a point of contention with some people who are like, "Oh, this movie's anti-man." It's not. It's so exaggerated that it's obviously comic, right? It's supposed to be funny. Like they have construction workers. And when they go over there, they're all saying, like, really corny, over the top stuff. Like, you got fries to go with that shake, and you know what I mean? Things like that.
Yeah.
And it's like a group of them. Like, it almost looks like it'd be like in a musical or something. It's like so fake looking, you know?
The way it's like their scene is set up.
Yeah, like the way the scene is set up. And the besides the fact that they're making those rude jokes, the big point of the joke also is that she goes over there, she says, oh, construction workers, that'll be a good person or good people to ask or whatever, because she thinks they're gonna all be women because in Barbie Land they all are. So she's like shocked that it's like men construction workers. But yeah, not only she experienced that, but also she realizes that
what,
oh my gosh, did you see this movie again?
I did. She realizes
like,
that
I feel
what?
Like, I feel like you lied when you said that you went and saw this movie multiple times.
What did she realize?
She thought she was going to come to the real world and everyone was going to love her and adore her because Barbie introduced feminism
into
the world.
Okay, but that was a
and,
really
and
weird...
Stop trying to...
No, you know that what you did was silly, and I was a, she also realizes that, and I was just supposed to guess what else she realizes?
That everyone hates her. That's all I was going to say.
Everyone doesn't hate her.
Most people do.
Just some people hate her.
Nobody likes her.
No, that's not true.
Yep. She thought she was going to be this big paragon of virtue, but then it turns out that...
Yeah, because all the Barbies believe that they've saved feminism and that all women are happy in running the world.
Yes.
But apparently, it's done the opposite.
It's, well, it hasn't done the opposite.
It actually... No.
No, but now the new, you know, younger generation hates Barbie and thinks that Barbie is the reason why... People have unrealistic body expectations and certain ways they're supposed to look, et cetera, et cetera. The movie does a great job, I think, of tapping into those issues while not trying to be a movie that's bashing on Barbie. It does critique it enough that it's shocking to me that Mattel let them make the movie. But I'm actually going to take that back. Everybody has been saying that it's shocking that Mattel let them make the movie. And to some extent, it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because they make fun of Mattel. They make fun of the president of Mattel. They even get some digs in at Barbie and what she has wrought when it comes to body image. You know? But it is still a celebration of what Barbie was supposed to be and how Barbie was the first doll that girls could play with that wasn't about just being a mom, that wasn't a baby doll.
Yeah.
And so they do recognize the contributions that Barbie made to culture in a fairly positive way. But I've been saying, I've been kind of echoing everybody else and saying it's shocking that Mattel will make this movie, et cetera, et cetera. But now I realize it's just been pandering, going along like a sheep, baaing in the wind. Because if you think about it, it's not that shocking.
It's so funny watching you go through this revelation. And like, it's like you're standing on your soapbox after you said it. You're like, you know what? It's not shocking at all.
It's not shocking because when you have someone like Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig, Noah Baumbach wrote it with Greta. Greta directed it. I call them by their first names because we're good friends. In fact, we actually have to finish this podcast in like 5 minutes to go to the Baumbach's house.
Oh, awesome.
I actually don't think Greta took his name. So it's the Gerwig hyphen Baumbach house, or would it be a slash?
Bro, could you
I
just
don't know.
Go?
Anyway, Greta Gerwig is an Academy nominated, if not winning, director and actress. She directed the most recent version of Little Women, which I'm pretty sure that you enjoyed.
Oh, I did love that movie.
Yes. And she's a fantastic writer. Noah Baumbach is also a Academy Award winning writer and director. Don't think he acts in things. He's directed some movies that some of my absolute favorite movies. So when two Academy Award winning husband and wife team say that they're going to make your Barbie movie, my guess is that Mattel says, go ahead. Yeah. So I'm sure they did give them notes. I'm sure they said, no, please don't do this. Or no, can you not make the CEO a douchebag? But at the end of the day, you're probably going to let them make the movie. What's really shocking is that Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach wanted to make this movie. I think that should be the more shocking thing. Because think about it. If Steven Spielberg and George Lucas went to Hasbro and said, hey, we want to make a G.I. Joe movie where we kind of like mock G.I. Joe's masculinity and make fun of like the president of Hasbro, they'll be like, well, I mean, it's George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, and this movie's going to make $1 trillion, so go ahead.
Yeah.
You can make us all into monkeys that have our thumbs up our butt. Like, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Man, you have so many good insights. I concur. So many great insights.
Well, they do know me for my insightful wisdom that I always am speaking while you talk.
We only have about 6 minutes left, so we need to let's get into
the meat and potatoes.
The taters. No meat. This is a vegan podcast. Taters only.
I don't want to be on the podcast anymore.
It's rude to vegan people.
Well, that sucks.
Well, vegan people are rude to all those animals that wish they could get eaten. So anyway,
think vegan people hate plants.
Let's talk about the journey that Barbie goes on. She goes back to Mattel, and what do they want to do?
They want to put her in a box and mm-hmm. send her back to Barbie land.
They want to fridge her. Yeah. The president of Mattel is played by Will Ferrell.
Yes.
And it's very
funny. Very funny. Very funny guy. Very silly little man.
He says he's trying to prove how progressive he is, even though the entire board is like all men.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to prove how progressive he is by saying, we have gender neutral bathrooms up the wazoo.
Yeah. He names one singular female CEO. And he said, I am the son of a mother. And that was really funny.
Yeah, so they try to put her in a box. But look, come on. Can you guide us through Barbie's journey and arc in this movie at all in 5 minutes? Get five
can
whole
I
minutes.
Guide us through the whole entire movie in five
no,
minutes?
No, I said the arc, the ending arc. Where does this movie go? What is Barbie's journey?
She goes, well, they're about Ken. I feel like Ken is an important
okay,
part of
go,
her journey.
Just do anything. I don't want to have to keep prompting you.
Oh, but it's so...
It's like having a little monkey that I have to keep dinging a bell so you do anything.
I am a little monkey that you have to ding a bell for. Okay, so Ken learns about... he sees that all the men are running the world, and he learns about patriarchy. And so he goes back to Barbie Land and teaches the whole... all of the Kens about patriarchy. So then Barbie meets... meets the... this mom of the daughter that just who berated her because she thought that this
what the heck are you doing?
What do you mean?
The mom of the daughter that berated her? You never even talked about that.
Well, you didn't talk about it either. The daughter is...
Yeah, but I didn't bring it up in that weird way.
So they have this... Barbie has this weird, connection, thing, whenever... So she can find who is her owner, who is making her, feel sad and stuff.
And she thinks it's a little girl.
And she thinks it's this little girl who yells at her and calls her no, I hate Barbie. Everyone hates Barbie. You're the worst. And then she meets the mom who is the real owner, and her depression is the reason that Barbie is upset.
Yeah.
So she takes him back to Barbie land because she's going to show him all these wonderful things. Everyone's going to be so happy. And they're also trying to escape Mattel because they're doing bad things, or they're trying to take Barbie. So then they're in Barbie land. Guess what? Barbie land's no longer matriarchy. It's all patriarchy. I almost called it the Casa de Castillo, Casa Dojo Mojo Casa House. That's what it's called, something like that. And Ken is all about
you're just like speed running us through the plot.
Yes.
That's not what I wanted you to do.
What did you want me to do?
Discuss the movie.
I had to get through all these points.
Okay. Go ahead.
I had to.
That's fine.
These are all very important parts of the movie.
Yes, they are very important plot points.
And then she gets really sad and depressed because she can't do anything about the Kens because she's just stereotypical Barbie. So then she's losing her mind. And
yeah, the Kens have taken over the world and turned it into the Ken world.
Kingdom,
yeah.
Yeah.
And again, while there are people who think this is really man bashing,
it's very funny.
It's very funny, and it's, like I said, it's really over the top. And honestly, what they're doing is they don't have them, murdering everybody or beating everybody up or anything. It's just, really cliche, manly, fake manly things.
Yeah, and, Ken, does the opposite of Barbie. He says, tonight's only boys' night, no girls' night tonight. And so, yeah. Yeah. This is in our house. This is
awesome.
My house.
So you explained all those plot details. So what was that? So you could build up.
So yeah. So this all happens, and then they. I don't want to talk anymore. This is the worst. I feel so embarrassed and stupid.
It's not funny for you to deprecate yourself.
I'm not deprecating.
No, you already did. So now I can't make fun of you.
No, keep going.
Because
now
I have to build you up and seem encouraging.
Well, that's actually all a part of my master plan because that's what the Barbies have to do. We have to rebuild Barbie back up so they can save all of Barbie land and save feminism. So that was all, that was actually a part of my secret plan, is that I, you said that, and then it mirrored the movie.
Well, we only have like 2 minutes left, so we're not going to really be able to get into anything. I mean, you finished telling everybody the plot of the movie.
Yes.
What I wanted to really discuss is the way in which the movie deals with the Kens in general, and with the, and how they handle their feminist message, which is, it does start with her. I can't. What is the character's name? Who is like her like owner?
I have. I just gotta call her mom.
That is so cringy. Oh my god!
I don't know her name.
So embarrassing.
I don't know her name or the other name.
And unfeminist of you.
What do you mean?
I don't need to know her name.
I didn't
I
say
call
that.
Her mom.
I said I don't know her name. I didn't say I don't need to know her name.
Oh my gosh!
I
just
don't
know
her name.
Mom.
I don't know her daughter's name either.
But American Ferrera plays her, and did I say American Ferrera? I think it's America Ferrera.
I think it is.
But she gives this really great speech about what it's like to be a woman.
I cried when I watched it,
and the way they handle the Kens is, I thought, was incredibly clever. And if these ding dongs who are so offended about men getting made fun of in one movie,
mm-hmm.
it's not for you. And what's funny is they made it actually be fun for you.
Yeah.
Are the G.I. Joe movies fun for anyone? But certainly they don't try and gear it in any way to where it's fun for both sexes. You know what I mean? So it makes me infuriated how close-minded and simple the people are who are getting mad about this. But the way that they handle the Ken's version of patriarchy is, A, Ken doesn't understand patriarchy.
Yeah,
right?
He thinks it's about horses.
Yeah, he thinks it's mostly about horses. Like, he liked the, but really you can tell that it's about him wanting to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a nice little subtle message in there about what happens when any group of people is treated less than. So the movie, while it is celebrating feminism, and they still have the women on mostly in charge, you know, in Barbie land, as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's Barbie land. But the movie is not about saying, oh, we should just have a matriarchy where all the men are our servants. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a coming to a realization that they should not be treating the Kens like a purse or an accessory. And you know what I mean? They have feelings too, and they want to express their voice. And it's such a clever little thing because they give it that little arc to the men, to the Kens,
mm-hmm.
but it's a perfect example of a reverse view of feminism. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, how much could they spoon feed this to you and you're still mad about
so,
it?
Yeah, so dense.
Yes. So anyway, that was a astonishingly shallow dive into Barbie.
Well, there was so much, and we should have gone through the whole movie beat by beat, and then we could have discussed the how each.
Well, I don't like to go through the movie. That's not
I don't
this
like
podcast.
I don't like doing that either. But
why did we need to do it for this movie?
Well, we had to do it because that ending part, we wouldn't have been able to talk about the Kens and how they did all that patriarchy stuff had I not done that speed run of how all the whole world worked.
You could have just not mentioned it.
Nope, I had to do it.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Barbie is out. You don't need to hear what two dudes have to say to go see this movie. You're already out there seeing it. So, much like a Ken, this episode of the podcast is superfluous.
Oh, wow.
See you next time.
Woo!